Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the richest nation on earth when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton just outraged all of his colleagues when he replied that there's no such thing at this date of world history in America as an independent press. Now you know it and I know it. And he went on to say, there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now you know it and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents and our possibilities and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of this Global 2000 program, this New World Order, the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and to stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this new world order and this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this new world order, call and order my four-hour compact disc package. It's free, it's educational, it's entertaining, informative. Call and order right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And that's a place to start. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. And do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about the richest nation on earth. Remember I told you about this young woman I saw on the Neil, what they call that now, the PBS program. It used to be called the McNeil Lehrer News Hour. The Lehrer News Hour, I guess I call it now. Or just the News Hour. And this young woman is being interviewed, and she says, America is the richest nation on earth. And I thought, this woman's been smoking something. She's totally out of touch with reality. It is true. We Americans used to be the richest nation on earth. But something happened. Something happened from the time that we were the richest nation on earth until now we're the world's greatest debtor nation. We owe more money. We owe $143 trillion. And that's before you add in the $600 trillion of derivatives that we're all co-signers and underwriters for, which is another big bubble that's going to pop here one of these days. And when this thing turns upside down, there's a prophecy over here in Deuteronomy 28:60, and I'm going to read it to you right now. And if you're new to the program, don't think that this is an evangelistic program here. We're going to give you an altar call because we're not religious here at all. In fact, we're kind of irreligious. I get letters in here all the time that chastise me and tell me what a dirty, low-down, loud I really am and how God's going to get me when the final analysis here. And verse 68, this is Deuteronomy 28:68. Remember this for you old-timers. This is one of the penal clause chapters. Listen to this. He says, the Eternal shall bring you into Egypt again with ships. Ships, S-H-I-P-S. And by the way, whereof I spoke unto you, you shall see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. You're going to be sold into bond servitude. Bond servitude, I mentioned to you last time. That's employee status. That's not slavery now. See, slavery is a status created by God himself. Bond servitude is a status, just like an employee is a status. Well, a bondservant is an employee, and right now, today, Americans, very, very commonly, Americans are voluntarily leaving the United States and going to India, Bangladesh, mainly India, but also Bangladesh and the Philippines, very, very common. Oh, and some of them are going over to Taiwan, some even to mainland China, for employment. Yeah, you're going over there to work. getting jobs over there. We're outsourcing our jobs and employment around the world. Well, that's the tip of the iceberg. It's going to get a little worse than that. There's a great economic debacle, about to fall or befall the world. And when that event transpires, it's going to be a real shocker, And a guy by the name of Howard Ruff, some of you might have remembered this name or heard this name back in the 1970s, this guy Howard Ruff, he's a Mormon guy now. He's from California, and he used to write a newsletter, maybe he still does, and it was called The Rough Times. He wrote a number of books, and he was writing about the economic problems that we were suffering through in the 1950s after President Nixon had cut our ties to gold in August of 1971. And he at that time, and I got to tell you that I did too, I thought that the Great Depression that we were all waiting for, the sequel to the 1930s depression, was going to hit us in the 1970s. And a guy named Paul Volcker came into the Federal Reserve, and he gave us a dose of medicine in this country that we haven't seen since the Great Depression. It was 21% interest rates. It put me out of business. We couldn't buy, sell, and trade. I mean, we took a dose of salts over there that straightened out our economy, well, for a time, and bailed us out of what was about to become the collapse of the world economy. And the guy's name was Paul Volcker. He's still alive. I saw him the other day. Was on a, you know, he must be 85 or 90 years old now, but he's a pretty old guy, but he's about 5'18". Great big guy. Must weigh 300 pounds. And I don't know if he's a genius or what, but he was kind of criticizing the Federal Reserve and its policies here today, you know, compared to what his experience was back in the 1980s. Whether or not Paul Volcker will be able to pull the fat out of the fire a second time in the form of Ben Bernanke remains to be seen. They're working hard. And if they pull the fat out of the fire, I'm going to be amazed. I mean, I was amazed when they did it the last time. I'll be doubly amazed if they can do it this time. I wish them all the luck in the world. But I think Howard Ruff put his finger on the pulse of the problem and what's coming down the pike for us. And hey, listen, this is a great opportunity. I don't know about most of you people out there buried in debt and credit cards and practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. But for guys like me, I'm a cherry picker and a shark. And I don't deny it. A shark. I circle in the water waiting for an opportunity. And then, like a great white down in the depths, shoots to the surface and eats the seal. That's predatory business. I don't deny it. Predatory business. Now, you ought not to be that way, and I'm real sorry for you guys over there that are about to lose your shirts, but you know, from where I'm sitting right here, let me give you a little description. There's a guy down south of me who owns a piece of real estate, and I've had my covetous, greedy eyes on that man's real estate for many, many years. And the price of the real estate was pretty high, but it's going down every day. And I looked at his piece of real estate, and I saved my pennies and my nickels and my dimes. I put them in my Coke cans, and I'm waiting patiently, and when this collapse comes, my bet is going to be that his farm is going to be on the market, and I think his farm is going to be on the market for pennies on the dollar. Now, I could have bought that place years ago, and I could have bought that place recently, and I probably, if I went over to him today and said, hey, Lance, want some of that property? I think he'd probably sell it, but I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to wait, bide my time, until that guy is up against the fence, up against the wall, broke, penniless, powerless. And then I'm going to move in and strike like a shark. And then I'm going to buy it for 10 cents on the dollar. And you're probably sitting out there saying, gasping for air. It's kind of like Judy Hartson gasping. I'm going to tell Mr. Whip. Well, okay, this is a policy or a program that's been going on for thousands of years. I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting to you. The housing market, the real estate market here in America has collapsed. And if you go out and buy a piece of real estate today, you too then can watch it go down in value tomorrow. So my thinking on the matter is, and I think that a lot of the other people out there are probably thinking about the same way, no point buying today. Let's find out where the bottom of the market is. A $500,000 house last year is selling for $400,000 today. Will it be selling for $300,000 next year? $200,000? $100,000? $50,000? I don't know. I'm just going to sit here and wait. I'm not in any big hurry to rush out and spend money. And that's what causes an economic collapse and exacerbates the problem. And that's because, you know, after the thing gets started, which is where we're at today, everybody starts sitting on the sidelines saying, well, you know, if you got any money at all, you're sitting there saying, well, why would I want to throw my money away today? Now, if you're holding your money in Federal Reserve notes, you need to get rid of it today because it's losing 15% of its value between now and the end of the year. So if you got $1,000 in the bank today, at the end of the year, it's going to buy $850 worth of goods. So if you buy it today, you can get $1,000 worth of goods. If you wait until December, you'll get $700 or $850. That's what I mentioned to you last time on the program. I said, you know, that's what's happening in Zimbabwe. The shelves are empty. In hyperinflation, the shelves are empty. In a depression, the shelves are full, but there's no money, and people don't have any money. So you got your choice. Do you want valuable money and lots of goods, or do you want worthless money and no goods to buy? And that's the choice that we're going to have. And that's the choice you're going to have worldwide. Some people in the world are going to be in much better position than other people. If you want to know who the richest people in the world are in the world today, it's the Chinese. Yeah, their standard of living isn't as high as ours, but they got more money than anybody else. Japan's second, Russia's third. And the United States isn't at any of the above. And I don't know where we're at. It's somewhere. I mean, we're not in the poorest countries in the world, but it's, you know, probably down around 15, 20 maybe. If you want to know where American wealth is, 15 or 20, something like that, that'd be my guess. Number one's China. Number two is Japan. Number three is Russia. And the Russians just collapsed 10 or 15 years ago. 1989, the Soviet Union was going into collapse. That's where we're headed. We're just headed where the Russians have already been and come out of it. We're headed into where the Argentines have already been and are now in the process of coming out of it. We'll come out of it. You know, there's life after economic collapses. There was an economic collapse, remember, in 1783, and America came out of it. There was an economic collapse in the 1930s, and America came out of it. And there's going to be an economic collapse in the near future, and America will come out of it. There will be an outcome. There's life, you know, that goes on after economic collapses. But there's great opportunity that is associated with these economic debacles. Great opportunities. I mean, there's just tons of money to be made. And if you don't want to make money, you know, if you think that that's bad, well, how about just making property? How about just hanging on to what you got? You know, that'd be a big step in the right direction. So there's opportunity. Opportunity is like rain. It's just everywhere. So when a shark is circling around, there's opportunity there. He just hasn't seen it yet. And when that opportunity manifests itself like a shark, he'll avail himself of the opportunity. And he'll just shoot up to the surface and eat seal. Now, we also call that cherry picking. Cherry picking is where you don't just go out and take everything that comes along. You just wait and wait and bide your time. And when that real bright red succulent cherry appears, you go pick it. Because that's the ones you're after. Just the ones that are the most succulent. And that's what opportunity and that's what shark, you know, predatory business practices are. You're a businessman who is looking for an opportunity. Boys and girls, there are opportunities that are coming up that are going to boggle your mind. I mean, there's deals upon deals upon deals. Just be patient now. Don't rush off and get excited. You know, get your powder wet. But just hang on. Until now, we have given equal credence. And this is Howard Ruff. I'm going to share this with you. He said, we've given equal credence to two possible scenarios. First, we would have several years of inflation as we do right now. And the powers that be would have a sudden rush of brains to the head, like Paul Volcker and Ronald Reagan did back in 1980, and stop the printing presses, ending inflation and the gold and silver bull market for at least a few years. Or scenario number two, it is now too late to stop it. The political forces and the unfounded liabilities would prevent the powers that be from ending the monetary printing process and in fact would grossly accelerate it. This would result in a hyperinflation, that is 400% inflation or more, and the eventual total destruction of the dollar. And suddenly America would find its money totally useless. Store shelves will be empty. Gas would go through the stratosphere, and Americans would suffer through the greatest depression since the Great Depression of the 1930s. Now, those are the two scenarios that we're going to discuss here. Scenario number one, the government will shut off the printing presses, go through a recession depression. We'll have hard money, lots of goods, no problem there, hard time buying them, shortage of money, or we can have easy money and no goods. Remember he said here gas would go through the stratosphere. Last time I heard Zimbabwe. Gasoline was selling at $237,000 a gallon. Hell, that makes $4 a gallon diesel sound like a bargain, doesn't it? Right. Now, I mentioned the last program. I said, you know, inflation isn't the problem. The rise in prices isn't the problem. It's the loss of purchasing power. That's where the problem comes in. So last time I explained that one to you, that the ice cream cone in 1945, you know, an hour's labor would buy 17 and a half of them, and today it buys 7.5. We lost 10 ice cream cones in the process. Now that's real property. We have actually lost ground. So if you think that you've made money through inflation, you got your head up the wrong end. Nobody's been making any money on inflation. And the powers that be are going to give us more of it. That's the wrong medicine. Paul Volcker gave us the right medicine. Put me out of business. In 1980, Paul Volcker put George Gordon out of business. But Paul Volcker did the right thing for the American economy, did the right thing for America as a whole. He didn't kill me. It's just that the economic climate for what I was doing at the time would not sustain what I was selling, what I was doing. I had to get into another line. I had to get into a different business. We were making all the wrong things for the wrong people at the wrong prices at the wrong time, and we needed to change, and we did. And we came out of it. And so from 1980 to August of 2007, that was 27 years, Volcker pulled the fat out of the fire. Now, he wasn't going to do it forever because the same causes that caused that debacle in 1980, nobody ever cured the cause. They just treated the effect, they treated the symptoms, and pulled the fat out of the fire. And so we're right back to where we were in 1980. Only this time, the remedy seems to be more inflation. And it may well be, as Howard Ruff points out, that it's too late. You know, you've got over the tipping point, and now you can't go back. I'm not an economist, so I can't tell you, you know, what we ought to be doing. I'm not here to do that. I'm just a businessman. And I'm trying to determine, well, what's coming and how am I going to get through it the easiest and the best and the most profitable? And I'm just looking out for rule number one. I'm looking out for myself. I don't care about you. I'm not looking out for you. This program is not here to protect you or your wealth. I couldn't care less. This old guy said, I don't give a rat's ass about you. What I'm concerned about is me. Now, in my job is to report facts. And so I dug this out based upon this young woman saying that America is the richest nation on earth. If you believe that, you've been smoking something real good. I mean, you're totally disconnected from reality. So listen up. Now, Ruff asks the question, so what causes me to settle on number two, hyperinflation? He says, I received John Williams' recent newsletter called Shadow Government Statistics. And if you'd like to get that report, it's www.shadowstats.com. It's easy enough. Shadowstats.com, in which he describes his case for a hyperinflationary depression, and it was most persuasive. It certainly persuaded me and is consistent with what I've said for years. Now, I spent the 1970s fending off the media label of prophet of doom, arguing that I expected much less than doom. It turned out to be so. With my new book in circulation, I'll face the same accusations, and this time they're right. The financial world that we know and love is facing genuine doom. I gotta underline this one. Here's Howard Ruff. He says, the financial world that we all know and love is facing genuine doom. That's the stocks and bonds. That's the unjust weights and balances. That's the paper currency. That's the Communist Manifesto. That's the income tax, Federal Reserve Bank, and paper currency. The economic system that we all know and love. Well, I'm going to disagree here a little bit. I don't care too much for the economic system here in the United States or the economic system of the world. That's what got us into trouble to start with. And as long as we deal in paper money, stocks, bonds, mortgages, interest, usury, negotiable instruments in commerce, we're going to have these periodic depressions, recessions, boom and bust cycles. If that's what you want, stick with the program. I don't want that, and so I deviated from the program. I went back to the Ten Commandments. Howard Ruff wants to stick with the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and it's a political economic decision that he has to make, and he's made it. And he's describing the financial world that we know and love is facing genuine doom. And after this one, the next one will face the same financial doom. And then after that one, the next one will face the same financial gloom and doom. I mean, it's been going on for 5,000 years. Now, in America, we tested the gold and silver thing from 1787 to 1933, and it made us the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. Then when we deviated and switched off to communism in 1933, we became the world's number one debtor nation, and now we're faced with the same gloom and doom that all the nations in the world for thousands of years have gone through when they've debased their money and used paper. Oh, okay. So what else is new? He goes on to say, you could lose the value of all of your assets in the stock market. You could find yourself unable to buy essential commodities when you want them. And gold and silver will be valued not in the tens or hundreds of dollars per ounce, but in thousands of dollars per ounce. Now, let me pause right here and point this out. How many Zimbabwe dollars do you think it would take to buy an ounce of gold? My God, if the price of gasoline is $237,000 a gallon, what is the price of an ounce of gold in Zimbabwe dollars? But listen, kids, just because the price of gold is worth so many thousands or millions or billions of Zimbabwe dollars is irrelevant and immaterial. What always comes down to the bottom line is, how many ice cream cones am I going to get for the unit of money that I'm spending? How many ice cream cones is this going to buy? That's what it all devolves upon. Not how many dollars you got. That's the ruse that they got us into by giving us more and more dollars. We're out here chasing these dollars. Oh, God, we're excited about dollars. You got dollar signs. You're like Scrooge McDuck with dollar signs in your eyeballs. It's time to wake up and face the or smell the coffee, as they say. You know, it's time to wake up to the reality that we're losing our purchasing power. You old people on Social Security are living poorer this year than you did last year. And next year, you're going to live poorer. They're going to give you more money. Last year, you had $1,000. This year, they're going to give you $1,200. Next year, they're going to give you $1,500 a month. But when you go down to buy the ice cream cones, 3 years ago, you were getting 10 ice cream cones. And this year, you're getting 7 ice cream cones. And next year, you're going to get 4 ice cream cones. You're getting poorer with more money. Wake up. That's the message. Now, John Williams will give one free copy of the newsletter that persuaded me. If you click on the link, www.shadowstats/roughtimes, disregard it at your own peril. Okay, so, okay, thank you, and Howard Ruff. There's more to the story, don't go away here. Again, that's called www.shadowstats/roughtimes, and then you can get those reports. And I think they're pretty well on point. John Williams, Shadow Government Statistics Newsletter, is very unusual. John is a consulting economist with all of the academic credentials. Most of his clients are bank officers and high-ranking corporate officers and officials. He has rearranged the government data according to historical analysis. For example, the government says inflation is under 4% by the simple expedient of eliminating energy and food from their calculations. John says inflation is over 11%, including energy and food. Okay. So when you include energy and food, now, of course, if you're an Amish man and you're not buying any gasoline and you're producing all of your own food, inflation is running at 4.5%. Most of you people are not Amish men. Now, his academic credentials are way ahead of mine, but at least I know enough to understand his work. It's my job to try to reduce such things to terms that my subscribers can understand. Now, here are some brief paragraphs from this 25-page report. He says, with the creation of massive amounts of new fiat that is not backed by gold dollars, will come the eventual complete collapse of the value of the U.S. dollar and related dollar-denominated paper assets. All right, you've got stocks, you've got bonds, you've got 401ks. All right, all of that's going to be wiped out. Now, your first job then is to preserve and save whatever assets that you have or you possess, or as much of them as is possible at this point in time. So the other day I pointed out we had an example of Mark from Austin. 2 years ago, he had an opportunity at that moment in time. Had he acted with dispatch, he probably could have saved a little bit of cash out of his real estate. Today, he's underwater by $20,000. Next year, he'll be underwater by $50,000 and so on. His real estate deal is dead. It's gone. Now, for some people, they'll call here and they'll say, well, I've got this 401. I got to tell you a little story here. I got this 401k, or I got this or that or something else. A young fella called in here the other day and sold his business, and then he invested his money in some kind of a real estate deal down in Arizona. And the real estate deal, he called here to the law school, and I said, well, I think your money's gone. You know, the company that you invested it with is in financial trouble. And my guess is that the money that you've invested in that real estate deal is a dead letter issue. You know, here you are investing money in real estate deals after the peak. You know, June of 2005 was the peak in the real estate bubble. So if you wanted to play the bubble, then you had to have sold your real estate at or shortly after the peak in order, you know, to get your money out. And then you got to go do something else with it. And this young fellow didn't do that. Well, the other day I talked to him, and he succeeded in getting out of that real estate deal and getting his money back. And I said, well, you're a very fortunate young man that you got your money back. He preserved his capital. And so now he's got his money in his hand to live another day. All right, now, from this point on, what capital you have in your possession is the capital that you're going to have going into this Great Depression. And the way you use it, the way you manage it, is going to make the determination as to how profitable your business transactions or how well you're going to weather this great economic collapse. Hey, hang on, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. And we're heard in more than 112 countries worldwide daily over the internet and radio. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. And if you'd like the number for that, the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. 67. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The final line here is these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're back. We're discussing this thing of the richest nation on earth. Howard Ruff is teamed up with shadowstats.com. And if you go to www.shadowstats/rufftimes, you can get a report. And I haven't got that report in front of me, but I'll see if I can get it, and then maybe I'll report on it. Now listen to this. He says, he goes on to say here that a law professor at Harvard and the University of California, Berkeley, who experienced the Weimar Republic hyperinflation said, it was horrible, horrible. It was like lightning. It struck so fast. No one was prepared. You cannot imagine the rapidity with which the whole thing happened. The shelves in the grocery stores were empty. You could buy nothing with your paper money. All right, now that's why I've come to the conclusion. I think this hyperinflation is going to be a killer. And so I mentioned to you, I said, you've got to have your stocks on hand. With hyperinflation coming, you've got to, if the shelves are going to be empty, kids, and it doesn't tell you then that if you don't have it, you ain't going to buy it. I was talking to a gold broker here not too long ago, Frank, the gold broker. And a good old guy, you know, and he's probably 75 years old, maybe pushing 80 now, a little older than I am. And I was chit-chatting about this very same subject matter. We have a conversation, you know, about once a month. And I said, Frank, how much food you got? Oh, he's got a little bit. God, I hope he has 4-year supply. I pulled the 4-year supply out. Sometimes people ask me, where in the hell do you get this 4-year supply of food, Gordon, you keep talking about? I get it from the book of Revelation and the 1260 days of the Great Tribulation. 1260 days, children, is a time, times, and a half time. That's 3.5 years. I think that you need a minimum of 3.5 years. So I rounded it off to 4 years, give yourself 3 months going in, 3 months going out. Now, the biblical example that we see in preparing for a great famine is the 7 years that we see in Genesis from the example of Joseph, you know, in the great famine of Egypt. I don't know if 7 years is the right number or 4 years is the right number, but I was reading the International Forecaster, and I noticed that the forecaster suggested, this is Chapman, Bob Chapman, 7 months. And I would ask the same question of Bob Chapman, where'd you get 7 months? I mean, what authority are you relying upon? Or is that just a number that Bob Chapman pulled out of the air? Well, I don't know. My wife said, well, why don't you call Bob Chapman and ask him? I haven't done it yet, but I ought to do that. I was reading a newsletter the other day of a guy in the newsletter, and I don't know who it was now, he said 1 year. He's looking at 1 year. Well, that's what the Mormons have been recommending. Now, the Mormons used to recommend 7 years when Brigham Young was alive. And then after Brigham Young died, they dropped that down to 3 years. Then they dropped it down to 2 years, and when I was in Idaho, you know, 25 years ago, the number was 2 years. Then I heard they dropped it to 1 year, and then the last I heard they dropped it to 72 hours. Boys and girls, you don't need a 72-hour food supply. Nobody's going to starve to death in 72 hours. It takes about 60 to 70 days to starve to death. No. The number that you're getting here should have some semblance of authority behind it. That's why I pulled the number 4 years out. It's based upon 1,260 days, 3.5 years, a time, time and a half times, and I'm saying that that's a minimum supply. In addition to that, you should be prepared to produce your own food. You need a seed supply. You know, you need to have clothes and your house bought and paid for. See, most Americans aren't going to weather this storm very well because their houses are mortgaged. They don't have any money. They're maxed out on their credit cards, and their government has now barred them from bankruptcy. You can't bankrupt out of your credit card debt. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. And now here's Howard Ruff. He comes along, and he's trying to give us some information here concerning this hyperinflation. He says, I'm betting on hyperinflation. I think he's right. I'm betting on hyperinflation. So I'm putting my emphasis on hyperinflation. Therefore, I'm going to see empty shelves. I'm going to have lots of money. There's going to be no shortage of money. We'll have $10 million bills. Every American will be a multi-billionaire when this thing finally concludes. We're all going to get filthy rich. We're going to be billionaires. Okay, but our billions of dollars won't buy an ice cream cone. And the price of gas will be $237,000 a gallon, but there won't be any gasoline to buy. Right, now that's where we're headed. Now, the still unfolding banking solvency crisis has confirmed the Fed's and the U.S. government's willingness to spend whatever money they have to create in order to keep the financial system from imploding. All right, as I speak, they're doing that right now. They're just working their hearts out trying to keep it from collapsing. Ultimately, they will fail. When will they fail? People call here every day and they say, Mr. Gordon, when are they going to fail? When is it going to collapse? You know, it's kind of like I must be Moses and I got a direct connection with God, and the answer is June 10th. I haven't got a clue. Not a clue. So, you know, you can go out and say, well, I heard it from Gordon himself. He said he's clueless. He don't know. Yep, that's exactly right. I don't know. This much I do know. It's coming, like peak oil. It's coming, but when is it coming? I don't know. So I think we better be prepared for peak oil. Now, the circumstance envisioned ahead is not one of double or triple digit annual inflation, but more along the lines of 7 to 10 digit inflation seen in other circumstances during the last century. 7 to 10. Okay, well, now in Zimbabwe right now, this is the champion. They got six-digit inflation, 100,000% per year. That's what's coming here. All right, now, does this spell economic disaster? Well, that's what it sounds like to me. What is, you know, let's just picture this. Let's suppose that you've got today your savings in your 401, and let's suppose you got $1 million in there, just for suppositions. What in the hell is that 401k going to be worth when we have 100,000% per annum inflation? Hell, you're 100, if it takes $237,000 to buy a gallon of gasoline, it's going to take something like half that to buy a double-decker ice cream cone, isn't it? Can you see that you're about to get wiped out? All right. Now, sometimes people, they'll say, well, that Gordon, you know, he's a prophet of gloom and doom. Well, excuse me, boys and girls, 10 years ago, you could accuse me of that. But today, the economy is already imploding as I speak. I'm not telling you something that's going to happen. I'm reporting on what the hell Brian Williams and Katie are telling you every night on the news. Are you paying attention? I'm not making any prognostications. Hell, Helicopter Ben says we're going to print whatever it takes. Well, in Germany in 1923, it took billions and billions and trillions of marks. That's what they had to print. Helicopter Ben says that's what they're going to do. So my conclusion is, well, I guess if Helicopter Ben's telling the truth, which he does once in a while, I guess we're going to have hyperinflation. And so it shouldn't be any great mystery to anybody to figure out, well, where in the hell are we going next? Hyperinflation. What follows hyperinflation? Depression. So the historical culprit generally has been the use of fiat currencies, currencies with no asset backing, such as gold, and the resulting massive printing of currency that the issuing authority needed to support its system when it did not have the ability otherwise to raise enough money, forfeits perceived needs through taxes or other means. The United States isn't any exception, already having obligated itself to liabilities well beyond the ability for the American taxpayer to ever pay off. That's where you're at today, $143 trillion. And that's what we know about. The U.S. government has $9 trillion in above board debt and another 43 or 44 or 45 trillion dollars in unfunded government obligation. That's rounded off to 40, round to seven. We have $50 trillion. It's your federal government now. Federal, just the federal government, just George Bush and company have $50 trillion to pay off. And then you've got 50 states out here, and every one of them's an hawk. Then you've got 3,500 counties. Name one county in the United States that doesn't have any debt. Name one. Then you got your cities like Chicago, New York. Hell, those municipal corporations are all in debt up to their eyebrows. And guess who gets to underwrite all of that debt? Well, it's all of you taxpayers out there. And then I see this number, $143 trillion. Hell, I'd have to take my shoes off to count up that high, but, you know, $143 trillion's got a bunch of zeros. Just write 143 and then write trillion, because I don't even know how many zeros go back there. 9, 12, 15, something like that. It's way out there. I'd have to sit here and cogitate for a while to figure that out. Hyperinflation. Extreme inflation. Minimally in excess of 4-digit annual percentage change, where the involved currency becomes worthless. It's a fairly crude definition of hyperinflation, is a circumstance where, due to extremely rapid price increases, the largest pre-hyperinflation banknote, $100, becomes worth more as functional toilet paper than as currency. The day will come when you will wipe your ass on $100 bills. Mark my word, right there. In fact, I might put a box right around that one right there. Let me read that to you again. That was a good line there. Howard Ruff said, the largest pre-hyperinflation banknote, a $100 bill, becomes worth more as a functional toilet paper than as currency. Coming to a city near you shortly. The current economic contraction is about halfway towards being classified as a depression. Okay, oh, halfway. You're halfway to being classified as a depression. George Bush the other day said, well, we're in a mild economic downturn. God love him. If that guy ever told the truth once in his lifetime, he'd have a cardiovascular collapse. Official CPI could be running in double digits by the end of year 2008. That's the official. See, right now it's 4.7. That's the official of the real inflation rate as I speak, April 2008, United States of America, 15%. That's where inflation's really running. And this young fella here reported 11%. 11%. He's 4 percentage points low. That shadow steps. The U.S. economy has been in a recession since late 2006, entering the second down leg of a multiple dip economic contraction, where the first down leg was the recession of 2001 that really began back in late 1999. Annual CPI, that's consumer price index inflation, currently is running around 11.6%, again, facing further upside pressures. 11.6 by this guy. Now, the evolving depression quickly will move to Great Depression status when the hyperinflation hits. It will be extremely disruptive to the conduct of normal commerce. Ongoing M3 currently shows a record annual growth rate of 17.3%. Now, this 17.3% is going to translate into 17% inflation, but that doesn't come for 18 more months. So as they speed up the money-making process, they create more money. They get to go out into the marketplace and spend it today and get 100 cents on the dollar. This is what's so valuable about inflation for government. When they print it up, they go out and buy it at today's dollars. Then as that money circulates through the economy, it bids prices up. Pretty soon your wages will go up. and then your prices will go up. And one of these days, that $2.35 ice cream that I told you about, oh hell, it'll be $23.50 for a double decker. And then it'll be $235 for a double decker. Then it'll be $2,350 for a double decker. And then it'll be $2,300 and $23,000 and $230,000 for a double decker ice cream cone. See where we're headed? And meanwhile, your wages will always lag behind the prices. And that's the killer. That's the killer. During the 1940s and 50s, your wages were ahead of the price increases. You were actually getting paid higher wages than the prices going up. God, those were heady days. Wonderful days. 40s and 50s. Terrific. Leveled off in the 60s and 70s. And from 1973 now until as I speak, as you listen to my voice today, you have not had a real wage increase since 1973. In fact, every single year you take a hit in your standard of living. Every year. You're living poorer and poorer. And it's going to accelerate now. The more money that they print and the faster they print it, the faster will be the degeneration of your lifestyle. In the near future, dollar selling should build towards an extreme with heavy foreign investment in the dollar fleeing the U.S. currency for safety elsewhere, with the domestic financial markets and U.S. Treasury so heavily dependent on foreign capital for liquidity. The Federal Reserve, now touted as the formal financial markets stabilizer, will be forced increasingly to monetize federal debt. That process will build over time, given the federal government's effective bankruptcy. Yeah, what we're dealing with here is your federal government is in the process of going bankrupt. They cannot pay their debt. They cannot service their debt. Governments work a little bit differently than you and I do. When the government cannot meet its debt obligations, it simply prints the money and goes out and pays them. Then the people who take that money are taking depreciated dollars. See, they lent out 100-cent dollars, and now they're taking back depreciated dollars, 90-cent dollars. So therefore, they've got to have more of them, so they raise interest rates and they raise prices. This cycle feeds on itself through the economy and in the Weimar Republic. Now, this doesn't go on forever. It only goes on for about 18 months. So you're going to have 18 months of sheer hell. Then when it collapses, barter takes its place. Barter. You'll be out here trading pocket knives for a loaf of bread, whatever you can get, to whoever you can get it from. And then they'll come back in and say, okay, well, this didn't work, so we'll come up with a new currency. And they'll come up with a new color of paper money. Now, if you got any sense, when they come up with a new color of paper money, don't leave your commodities. Stick with property. And you'll come through that pretty well. Now, if you want to trade your property, this is what they did in 1933. My granddad went down with his gold coins, put them on the bank counter at Bank of America, and they gave him paper currency. He traded his commodity gold for paper. They'll tell you to do the same thing again. Don't buy that. Because if you buy it, well, then you'll get burned. See? It's like my granddad did. Again, the current circumstance will evolve into a hyperinflationary depression, then a Great Depression, although such is not likely much before 2010, or conceivably even after 2018. The financial endgame for the current markets will tend to come sooner rather than later and will break with surprising speed when it hits. Now notice that they're putting dates on here. I like to avoid these dates. I think it makes more sense to say, I don't know if it's going to be in 2009, 2010, 2011, 12, 13, 15, 18. I don't know. And I don't know where Howard Ruff gets the number 2010 or 2018. I think it's an educated guess. Just throwing numbers out there. I don't know. I wish them all the luck in the world. I hope they can keep. Hey, listen, I'm not excited about this prospect at all. It's like standing on the deck of the Titanic. Some guy comes up. Did you know how long the hole is on the side of the ship? No, it's 300 feet. I don't know what the hell a 300-foot hole in the side of the ship means. I know it ain't good, but I don't know if that means we're going to sink in 2 hours and 20 minutes, or if we're going to limp into New York, or we're going to stay afloat in time for a ship to come by and pick us up. I haven't got a clue as to what a 300-foot hole on the side of the ship means. I just know it ain't good. So when I hear Ben Bernanke is going to print money, I don't know how long a hole that is in the side of our ship, but I know it ain't good. And so Howard Ruff says, well, the ship's going to sink in 2010 or 2018 maybe. I don't know when the ship's going to sink. I know a 200-foot hole would have been better than a 300-foot hole, and a 100-foot hole would have been better than a 200-foot hole, and no hole at all would be better than a hole in the side of the ship, but I haven't got a clue as to when it's going to sink. 2008 will favor an incumbent party loss, a victory for the Democrats. I'd say that's a no-brainer. Okay. What promises hyperinflation this time is the lack of monetary discipline formerly imposed on the system by the gold standard and a Fed dedicated to preventing a collapse in the money supply and the implosion of the still extremely over-leveraged domestic financial system. The limits to the unlimited abuse of the debt standard are particularly equivalent or evident in the GAAP-based financial statements of the U.S. government, which show the actual federal deficit of $4 trillion for 2007. Now remember, they've been telling us. Remember when Slick Willie was president? They were telling us we had budget surpluses when, in fact, we were running budget deficits of $100 billion a year. Now they're telling us we got modest budget deficits of $300 and $400 billion a year. No, no, it's $4 trillion. That's $4,000 billion. It isn't $300 billion, it's $4,000 billion. And that was for 2007. Now, with total federal obligations standing at $62.6 trillion, with no liability to honor these obligations, the government effectively is bankrupt. Now, he says we got obligations of $62.6 trillion. Now, we got $43 trillion in debt. Then we've got obligations. This is where Social Security and Medicare comes in. Now, the president last year, remember this? He says, we've got all of this obligation, and I think we need to have free drugs for our elderly. That's like this young woman that I'm reporting on. She says, America's the richest nation in the world. Well, it's a right of every American to have health care insurance. Huh? Where in the hell has this young woman been? And I'm just reporting to you here from Shadow Stats. Let me give you this name and number again. Now, check me out. See if I'm lying to you. You can get this report that I'm reading to you right now from www.kitco.com and look for Ruff. You know, that's www.kitco.com/IND/Ruff. And it was April 21st, 2008. April 21, 2008. And then that Shadow Stats, talking about the richest nation in the world here. God, that woman's spaced out on something. Well, I had that Shadow Stats. It was shadowstats.com. And then he said here at the top of the page, here it is, www.shadowstats/roughtimes. Once more, that's www.shadowstats/roughtimes. All right, kids, they say out the blue room, read 'em and weep, as the dealer deals out the second rounds in a poker game. Read 'em and weep. Let me give you a reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log, schedule, and archives. And that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.